This episode of Spittin' Chiclets featuring Charlie McAvoy is brought to you by Sauce Hockey. We all know that hockey is more than just a game. It's a culture and a way of life. The best players carry that swagger off the ice and are definitely known to have just a bit of fun in the process. Sauce Hockey has a full line of apparel that tells the hockey story from every level. Whether you're a savvy veteran that has been around the block, like you, Grinnelli, or a local legend playing beer league with the boys, like Whitney, Sauce Hockey has the threads for you. Sauce has the sickest lids around to make your summer flow pop, and they've even got you covered in the polo department. Their t-shirts are softer than puppies' ears and feature fresh designs that will definitely help you off-ice plus-minus, if you catch my drift. You'll even find barbecue sets made of broken twigs and other accessories like their boxes, which are also A+. To make matters even better, the beauties over at Sauce Hockey are giving us an exclusive 30% off with discount code CHICLETS. You heard that right, 30% off with discount code CHICLETS. Sauce also has the best t-shirt of the month club out there, which sends you an original design from a part of the history of hockey. For only $30 or less than a 24-pack of Molson, you can get a piece of hockey history delivered to your door. The club has featured storied bonds such as the Met Center in Bloomington, Minnesota, the Yale Whale, the Ralph, and recently did a tribute to Herb Brooks, which is still available on the website. You can sign up at saucehockey.com. So make sure you head over to saucehockey.com to take advantage of 30% off using the code CHICLETS. SAUCEHockey.com, code CHICLETS. CHICLETS. The address again is saucehockey.com, and the code is CHICLETS. CHICLETS. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 41 of Spittin' Chiclets, brought to you by Barstool Sports.
What up?
Ryan Whitney in the house.
Hello, gentlemen.
Producer Mikey Grinnelli.
Special guest with us today.
Huge guest today. Long time coming. Few people had requested. Few people actually guessed correctly.
A few people said wet emojis.
Yes, a lot of people sending wet emojis already when we released the name. Welcome to the show, Charlie McAvoy, Bruins defenseman.
Hey, thanks, guys. Big fan.
Great to hear. That's great. Now, before we get going, I do want to let everyone know Rear Admiral's hockey tough right now. He went through some emergency gallbladder removal surgery, correct?
Correct.
So, dude, you know, we appreciate you grinding it out with us. And also, I think did you get a Tiger Woods cocktail for all the pain? Like, did you get
that? Yeah. I definitely
did you see that?
Oh my god! That basically when I read that, I was like, yeah, I was like doing a checklist for myself. I think they gave me all those in the hospital the other day.
I'm like, dude, he wasn't lying. There was no booze, but holy shit, Tiger!
He might as well have been drinking.
You think?
Yeah.
So
yeah, a little.
But we're glad to have you back.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, hashtag hockey guy.
He's grinding out through this one.
Grinding out. I'd take a picture of my gut, but nobody wants to see
no,
that.
No.
Anyways, we got Charlie McAvoy here, so let's get cracking with this guy here. Charlie, we're going to cut right to it, man. You played 4 games in Providence.
BU!
Yeah,
what up?
After BU. And then your first NHL game, it's not in October. It's not an open night game. It's the fucking NHL playoffs, man.
On the road.
And as an observer, man, you, whatever, kiss your asshole. You look like a 10-year veteran out there. What was going through your mind that first game? I mean, how did you just play at that level in your first game, your first 6 games?
And how fired up were you, like, in warm-ups? I know that was part when you're like, all right, slow down.
Man, it was honestly crazy. Like, trying to, like, relive that. Like, a lot of people ask, like, you know, what was that like? And it's still, like, even hard to kind of explain what that was like, you know, because before the game, you know, everybody's coming up to you and you got like all the boys getting you fired up and they're like, you know, because once upon a time, like everybody played in their first NHL game.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, everybody's
been
through it.
That part of it.
Like, you know, everybody's been through it and they're like, you know, like just do your thing. Like we got you. Like, and honestly, like when I got out there for warmups and just took like first lap, I was like, wow, like this is something else. Tonight. Honestly, in warmups, my main thing was I had never warmed up with them. So I didn't even know what was going on. And like, and everybody's got like their own like ritual. They're at like game 83 now. Like, yeah. So every, like certain guys are like saucing in the neutral zone. And I'm like messing, like guys are just like yelling heads up and stuff. Like I'm getting in the way of everybody's stuff. I'm like, oh, what am I even doing out
Bergeron
here?
Bergeron,
like,
usually stick handles between a couple of pucks. He comes over and snags.
Snags his puck.
You're using this
taking guys' pucks.
So that game, I was excited to see you play. I've watched you at BU and in the World Juniors was really, I think, your coming out party to people around North America in terms of hockey fans. But I had seen you at BU, so I was excited. And then I noticed you had the chance right away to run the power play that night. And so for you, I think that's, you know, the best part of your game. And so I'm sure you were nervous, but there must have been a sense of you just being kind of confident. Once you got the puck, made a couple plays, you're like, all right, this isn't a big deal. Is that true?
I think, like, the biggest thing for me that game was we got a power play. I think it was halfway through the first period. And because, like, my first few shifts, like, I was like shitting bricks out there.
Yeah,
like, I'm trying, like,
coming hard.
Oh, yeah. Like, I got somebody,
you know,
somebody stepped. Sorry, guys, sorry. I don't know who it was, but some D, like, stepped on me at, like, our blue line or something. I got, like, wrecked my second shift. And I'm, like, going through my head, like, trying to get control of this. And then, boom, we got a power play. So that was, like, my chance to get out there, feel the puck, and, you know, have some time to make some plays.
Get a little confidence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we got out there, like, we got some couple good chances. We didn't score, but I got the puck on my stick, and I'm running on the top, and I was like, wow, like, you know, starting to feel comfortable with it. And then, you know, from there, like, I was like, all right, let's just see if we can keep this rolling.
It's so cool to hear you, because I used to always say, like, when you got almost as your first shift, if it could always be a power play, you had so much more time with the puck. You're like, all right, yeah, I'm like, yeah, kind of into the game. Whereas, especially on the road in Ottawa, I mean, they came out flying. But it's just, it was great to see how much poise you had that game and then moving forward. So I didn't know if it was really hard to, at the beginning, to get used to.
How many practices did you have with the team before your first game with the parent club? Not the-
oh man, so my first
optional.
First practice, I actually got called up on Sunday. I got called up on Sunday night. I'd sat out a game in Providence because Crudy was already hurt. Carlo had just got a concussion that afternoon against Washington. And I'm like, oh man, like, what's going on? And they were like, all right, like, sit out. You're not playing today. Like, the big club's got to figure out some stuff. Like, you know, so next thing I know, it's that night. You know, it's late that night, and Don gave me a call and was like, hey, you're getting called up. And, like, oh man, like, that phone call was, I'm like shaking on the other end of the line.
Like, when you left school, did you think, like, I'm gonna end up playing the Bruins? You're like, no, this is gonna be AHL. I'll play in the playoffs with them. Like, did you have a hope or not even a consideration, really?
Oh man, like, honestly, the thing now is, like, you know, like, Werenski, like, what he did in he left school. And where do you go?
He went to Lake Erie.
Lake Erie.
And they won.
And they won the whole thing.
So you're probably
And he played.
Right.
He played lights out in the playoffs in the A. And so they were like, yeah, like, go, you know, kind of follow the Werenski model, go down there and do that, and, you know, and then you know, come into camp next year and, you know, do your thing. And but with the circumstances, you know, it was kind of like next man up, I guess. Man, I just got unreal. Like, you know, I got my break. But
so it just to me, I obviously I didn't play nearly the level you guys did, but just from a like X's and O's perspective, like, is it just like the hockey takes over? Like, because, you know, you didn't play with these guys at all, and all of a sudden you're out there and you're not only playing with them, but you're a key component to the team, man. Like, is it just, are you just relying on confidence, instinct? Like, does the nervousness just go away? Like what's going on there? I'm just curious, you know.
I was about as nervous as, like,
you've never been
like, yeah, probably. Like, I mean, playing at that stage was like, you know, it's everyone's dream playing there.
Right.
So you finally get there and you're like, you got to pinch yourself that you're there. And, you know, and then you're out there and you're playing against these guys. And honestly, the people who I relied on was kind of just like the team and the coaches, you know, like the guys I was playing with Z. My first game, I actually played with Kevin Miller, played with Spike, and, you know, whether it was Z or him, but they both were making my life super easy. Just lean
talking
on those guys, talking a ton.
Yep.
Never heard anyone talk more than Z out there.
It matters, like, so much. I think so underrated in terms of, like, especially defensemen with your partner, just being able to talk and stuff like that. And
yeah,
I think as a first game guy, it's like, please just scream to me, dude. Tell me when I have time. Tell me when to move it and make it easy as they did on you.
And that was the first thing he said. He was like, hey, like, in our practice, when we practiced together, he was like, I trust you, you trust me. Like, if I hear you yell this way, I'm going that way with it.
Yeah.
You hear me yell that, like, you're don't going this way with it. Like, just trust each other. And, like, hearing that was like a load off my back. Like, I'm like, all right, like, I just got to just trust this guy.
Yeah.
And this guy, and he, you know, he played awesome, he had a great series, and we just kind of worked off each other, just piggybacked.
I think that, personally, it must be... not a relief, that's not really the right word, but if you'd gone to Providence, and even if you'd played dominated the way Werenski did and you guys went far, you'd still have this sense of, this is my first NHL training camp. I don't know anyone, you know, besides the AHL guys. Whereas now it's like, all right, I played in the NHL. I played in NHL games that were even harder than the regular season. So for you this summer and going into camp, it must be really nice to know, like, all right, I got my spot. You know what I'm saying?
I burned a whole year of my deal already.
Yeah, not thinking, a big deal. I'm the money guy. I'm the money guy. I should have thought of that.
Oh, man. It definitely means a lot, like, getting close with the guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Because now I come into camp and kind of like my first day up there, my first practice, first day I got called up, like that was the day I was like most nervous. I'm like, all right, I got to meet all these guys. Like, been watching some of these guys my whole life and like been watching Chara my entire life. And now I'm like, now I'm in the locker room with him. Now I'm on the ice with him. Now we're on the same team, like crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, those kind of like, those introductions there, boom, you get those done. Now we're on the same team. Now we're all pulling in the same direction. Yeah. Now I come in and, you know, I've been talking to a lot of them this summer and I'm kind of in there now. I'm introduced. So now when I come in, now instead of meeting everybody, it's like, hey, how was the summer? Like, good to see you guys again. Yeah. Like, hey, man, boom. Buddy. And now we just hit the ground running and I'm looking to just have a great camp.
Kind of like you get the first date out of the way almost. You know?
Yeah, and maybe, you know, just like lucky because he played on the power.
Briefly going back to the playoffs, and this is probably a little opposite of what I've already asked. I think it was game five. I think it was the overtime game. You misplayed a puck at the blue line. I forget which senator went in all alone. And Tuukka saved, just basically kept the season alive for another game. What was going through your mind during that play, man?
I don't remember.
I remember now.
Almost the scrub of the series.
Oh, my God. Yeah, actually, I do. I went, got the puck. It was one of those plays, you know, when, like, the puck just comes over your blue line and you're skating back, you got a guy all over you, you know, you can't get it to your partner, you're trying to figure out what to do, you got nothing. So I tried to just stop it and go off the like glass real quick to get it back to the neutral zone, and I don't know what happened, if I flubbed it, I don't know, but I like fell, and next thing I know, I don't know who it was, it might have been Stone, maybe it was a righty, I think, and he picks this thing up and he
full tilt
walks right to the middle. Now he's right between the hash marks, and I'm like just thinking in my head, like,
no.
if these guys worked all year to be here, and if I came up and in my like fifth game I literally lose the series for him. And it was like my life flashed before my eyes before Tuukka made that glove save, and I was just like, live another day.
The next day, Tuukka had a new $500 Metallica box set in his locker room.
Well, I mean, I think Tuukka, I like having Bruins on just to remind, Bruins players on just to remind everyone how good Tuukka is. So let's just get that out there.
I saw something the other day. I don't know what it was. It might have been on like Twitter, but it was like top 10 goalies. Like from,
NHL
like,
Network top
and he,
10
and he,
list.
And he wasn't on there?
Wasn't
no,
on the top 10.
I haven't
worked
this summer, boys.
Yeah.
I haven't been at work this summer. So that's on me.
It's a jumble.
He would have been on my list. But I mean, I just don't understand how people chirp him all the time.
You
can't even score on him.
No. Yeah. I've taken a fair deal of shots, and there was a couple weeks there. I don't think I scored once. He's a competitor, man. He battles. Like, you watch those games, some of the saves he makes, like, he could be down and out, and he's not, like, he's jumping back to make those saves. Like, he doesn't quit. And he's one of those guys who you love to play for, because if you make a good play or you block a shot, oh, you hear it. Like, I remember my first game,
He fires you up.
I stopped like a 2-on-1 down low or something, and then like out of nowhere, I'm just hearing Tuukka behind me like, nice play, Charlie, like nice play, like
he's my dad.
You're like, wow, man, like he's in it, like we're all, you know, he's the man. Tuukka is awesome.
So I just want to, I brought up briefly, but World Juniors this year. I mean, I was lucky enough to play in World Juniors. We didn't make any noise, but that was just so special to watch as a fan of USA Hockey and playing in it and being... Were you MVP? If you weren't,
all
the best defenseman?
The gold medal game, I got player of the game.
Dude, fucking A, man. Like, that's just... How sick was that to be... And with the guys you played in Ann Arbor with, just go... Bring me through that tourney.
Man, it just felt like everything came full circle. Like, getting to that camp... Right, you know, the little pre-camp that they have. We had ours in Buffalo. So getting to that, it's like a reunion. It's like an NTDP reunion. It's like all the guys who we won a U18s with. So, like, we're already, like, bonded together, like, through that. We all got that.
Where did you win U18s?
And we won it in Switzerland.
That's a decent
place.
Lots
of Swiss misses.
Unbelievable place, by the way. But so we get there, and we're like, man, like,
we're doing this.
We're doing this. Like, we all felt like right at home. Like, we were already like a family. We bring in a couple 98s from that 98 birth year who were studs. And then
quickly, did you make the team your freshman year?
Yeah.
Okay. So how and that year you guys did you?
I think we should have won it that year.
Was that Eichel's year?
No, we had Matthews, Kachuk. Wierenski. Wierenski was what this was his like.
Yeah, he was
best defenseman in that tournament by a long shot. Yeah. He went off that tournament.
But you weren't in the role that you were this year.
No, okay. No,
makes sense. You're this is your 20-year-old year, right?
Yeah, this is my last year eligibility. That's in that tournament. Awesome. Yeah.
All right, so you get there and right away you guys can tell. All right, this is like we've won the worlds together before. 2 years later, let's go. And then just from there, it went off running.
Man, we get there and actually one of the first meetings we had in Buffalo, we're like full team isn't even picked yet, so we got. This guy, military man, Sean Brazel, he's awesome. Like, he's big hockey guy. His kids play. Like, so he was around and picking the team process, kind of like leadership guy.
Yeah, like seeing, okay.
Like, he's the best. So they had him for the World Cup of Hockey, where USA kind of laid an egg.
Yeah.
So he was like, right now, like, USA Hockey is like a joke. Like
just
we
firing
got,
you guys.
We got no credit right now. So he goes, as far as this, we're sitting in the room, and he goes, we got to bounce back right now from what happened at World Cup. We're going to win this fucking tournament.
No shit.
And so we're all sitting
Canada.
There. We're all sitting there like.
Relax, buddy.
God damn it. I'm going to try my hardest.
Like, all right. I mean, if he just says we got to win this tournament, like, we're here. Fucking might as well. Like, let's win this tournament. And then. We started to catch some heat, man. We went undefeated in the group play, and then going into the round or finishing the round robin, going into the medal round, we were like,
"We got
man,
this.
Let's do this. Let's go for it."
That's unreal.
Just jumping back, not to the series, but man, what was it like being on the ice? Probably not always good, but Erik Karlsson, man, can you tell us how awesome is he? I mean, we all see it, but. Is he a guy you almost model your game after a little bit? I know that's a super high praise.
He hammers guys, though. Although Karlsson does sometimes, too, now. He's a freaking animal.
So this guy is, like, a freak of nature. Like, watching this guy skate, like...
He plays tennis for summer workouts.
I used to work out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He plays tennis.
He's one of those guys, like, sometimes, like, before games, like, I'll watch, like, some highlights of some guys and be, like, get fired up and be, like, wow, like... Gonna try and play like this guy. Like, used to watch that guy all the time. This guy's highlights, like, he is incredible. And then I'm out there playing against him. I'll never forget the one play where he sauced the damn puck from the goal line to the far blue. Landed.
That was the sickest landed pass of the playoffs.
On an absolute seed. Landed on a dime on Hoffman's tape, and he went in and then proceeded to Forsberg. Like, it was just ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous. But I was that was the best dash I've ever had.
Yeah, you're like,
I'll eat that dash. And then you just see me like 10 feet behind Hoffman, like chasing. I wasn't catching him, and then he scored.
Just,
like, and then
tip your helmet.
And then I just
nice play, Eric. Nice play.
And at that handshake line at the end of the series, did it look like he might have had some words of encouragement or something for you? I mean, not to ask you what did he say, but did it look like he was kind of, you know, given that veteran recognizes in you a rookie with similar talents? Was that kind of what
going on? Oh, man, yeah, a lot of nice things. He kind of stopped me there, and we kind of just had a quick talk about, like, you know, the series, and, you know, he said some really nice things. It was like...
That's the best feeling.
Best feeling, like, ever.
A superstar coming
like,
up to you.
Wow.
Like, yes.
Kind of, like, acknowledging me, and he was like, the way you stepped in was, like, awesome, stuff like that. And I was like, man, you're one of, like, my biggest role models. Like,
hey, man, thank you, man.
Oh,
you're the best, man.
Like,
get a stick.
It's, like, kind of, like, to pinch myself, too, like, you know, but he was awesome. And then if you watch the rest of the playoffs, he had a great, great series against the Rangers and then Pittsburgh, too. Like, he had an unbelievable... Unbelievable playoffs, man. And that guy.
Playing on like one leg, too. I mean, he was, you know, dinged up, too. That was
You're
incredible.
Broadcasting on half a stomach, dude.
Yeah, a little so bit. So who's more of a hero? Right
All right, so bring us back, way back in time. Although, fuck, for you, it's probably like, what are you, 20? So
bring us fucking 90s, like, not 19, even 20.
What a joke.
Son of a bitch.
So I want to say, like, go back to fifth grade, right? Like, in your teacher's
last year.
What do you want to be? Like, were you, yeah, exactly, 2 years ago. Were you the kid who's like...
He can't laugh. Look at him. He's hunched over when he laughs.
That is an interesting laugh. Just grabbing your side.
Laugh, yeah. I have to hold my sides because it's funny and it hurts.
Well, all right. So listen. So three years ago in third grade, did you always want to be NHL player? Has this been your dream your entire life? Were you into other sports? Give me your background and in growing up and starting to play the game.
So I kind of ran the field and everything, like football, lacrosse, baseball, played it all.
From Long Island, correct?
Long Island, yeah, Long Beach. Yeah, played for my town for most of that, and then always just came back to hockey. Like, yeah. You know, I just always came back to it. It was always my favorite from the start. Football, I'd say it was probably my second favorite. I loved football.
What
played
position,
it,
dude? Like,
I played center? Linebacker and center. I played like linebacker and running back up until, you know, up until like 7th, 8th grade, and then it was like hockey is dead in the middle of that season. Like if I'm trying to do anything, I can't do both. Like,
yeah, exactly.
So gave that up, played lacrosse until high school because that was a different season. But then it'd be like, all right, like I got practice every day, and I'm like, all right, I got tournaments this weekend, I got, you know, practice is right after school from, you know, 3 to 5, and I'm supposed to skate right at 5. So I'm like leaving early and stuff. The coach didn't like that. But it always just came back to hockey. It was always my favorite, and it was what I was best at. So
9th grade comes, and you start playing. Where'd you go to school? Where'd you play high school?
9th grade, I went to Long Beach High School.
Public school?
Public school, yeah.
Dominated that scene?
Oh, man. I was like, I only played a little bit there. I played for the New Jersey Rockets that year.
Not a big deal.
I played, went from Long Beach to Newark.
Every day?
3 days a week to play there. I'd take the train, man.
Oh, wow.
You had the gear?
Thank God we had a locker room we could set it up in, but
if only you had podcasts to listen to.
Oh man, I know. You guys are just a couple years behind.
We heard last week we had Keith Yenville on. He abandoned his skateboarding career to become an NHL player.
Yeah.
We heard you were into the surfing bit a little bit.
Yeah, is this true? You were surfer?
You know, we got a little Spicoli in the house today.
Man, I still like I was just home last 2 days ago actually. I shot back up here for yesterday. I just got back, but we got that, you know, that storm coming up.
That
storm going off right now.
Riptides, dude.
Man, the waves were sick in Long Beach.
Really?
So I surfed. So my dad, his favorite thing was surfing. Always.
Really?
He grew up surfing. Yeah. So no, he still
shit.
Surfs. He still surfs today. He's 51. He's still on his shortboard, just like
ripping it up. He's good.
He's really good. When he was a kid.
How high are these waves? Like, are we talking like 6 feet or 10?
Like,
feet?
Like overhead. I mean,
all right.
You don't get like Jaws surf in Long Beach, but like the waves are good. And yesterday was the best they'd been, and I had to shoot back up, a little rattled. But
Diffley had to be the best surfer on that beach.
Oh man, I'm still gotta surf with Diff. Me and Diff have been like trying to, he says he's got boards for me.
He's got a photo shoot during his surf, so he's
no. He just
stay out
sits
of
on his board and makes sure his hair looks pretty. That's what Diff's up to.
When you got hair like that, you gotta do it.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yeah. So all right, so no golf. You're a tragic golfer.
Tragic golfer. I got to work on that because honestly, you ask everybody, it's like, oh, what are you doing today?
Playing golf. Dude, you got to go golf.
You know, no, I'm playing golf.
Well, I guess surfing you can go off, but I mean, dude, what if there's no waves that day? There's always a golf course.
There's always a golf course.
Probably it's probably a hell of a workout though, surfing too. I mean, as far as working, your muscles and shit.
Gets the arms going. Yeah, it's good. It's a good workout for sure.
Some ab workouts, you know, that's why I do the paddle board occasionally in Scituate Harbor.
Not a big deal.
So, all right, let's go through. Usual summer day for you. You're in Boston. You're working out at BU. So at BU, it's a bunch of alumni. Is that pretty much the whole crew in there?
Bunch of alums. Lots of guys from mostly the senior class when I was a freshman. So you got Grizzy in there. Grizzy's in there. Jack is in there. Matt Lane, Daniel Regan, those guys all playing pro right now.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And then you got Colin Wilson's in there. A couple other guys. Nunes is in there.
Where do you guys skate?
So I've been skating over at Warrior with a bunch of the guys. A lot of guys are shuffling back in, so we're right there. But, you know, Walter Brown's always got some ice down.
WB.
WB.
Dude. Man, so your experience at BU, I was told that it was down between BU and Yale. Those were your final two decisions?
Yeah, those were.
A little bit of a different.
Wow.
Like, how did that come about? Interest in BC, right?
Suck
at BC.
Dude, they never came knocking.
Wow.
Wow, huh?
What a fumble.
Are you Protestant or something?
nice Catholic boy. Couldn't get a bed.
So you end up going to BU.
Nah, I'm...
How much did you love it there? Man. And how much did Quinny help?
When it came down to it, that was one of the biggest things, was playing for Quinny.
Yeah.
Playing for a guy who... Just such a knowledge of the game, man. He's
a great recruiter, huh?
Oh,
yeah. Great. The recruiting classes lately have been ridiculous.
So unbelievable.
We had just recently was Keller, Forsbacka, Carlson, myself,
Greenway.
Those guys, a lot of that was Steve Greeley's work.
Yep.
And Greeley.
Greeley, now assistant GM of the Buffalo Sabres, who I grew up with.
Greeley.
Yeah, he got all those guys, dude.
Greeley, man.
He told me that when you first talked, you were like nervous. You were like, it's my sophomore or freshman year of high school, and I have no offers yet. He's like, you're a freshman in fucking high school. Don't worry, dude, the offers will come, bud.
The game is absurd now. Like,
I know. Is it that nuts? It's freshman year now, you have to have offers?
It's like, you're looking around, and if you're like anybody, like...
You gotta
have a full ride when you're in like eighth grade at this point.
See, they gotta fix that. That's fucking stupid.
No, it's nuts because honestly, it's sad, but a lot of people who I know who had these commits like before me, and I'm sitting there sizing myself up and I'm like, man, I'm like, wow, these kids got full rides and I don't got jack shit. And then now it's fast forward 4 years later, a lot of where these kids were committed in eighth grade. They decommit or the school decommits them because they're trying to push them back 3 years.
The school can do that. That's bullshit if schools are doing that.
I don't know how it works because obviously I luckily didn't have to go through anything like that. But I wonder if it's just a mutual split. If you're like, hey, we don't have a spot,
or they're like, listen, you're not going to play.
I've had friends that have the school has completely been like, no, you're not coming here next year.
Yeah, because they're playing with you at Burlington High, dude. Exactly. You were carrying their jock strap.
Exactly.
I didn't even have
like
fucking...
If you're riding Grinnelli's coattails.
I mean, I didn't have like peach fuzz in the eighth grade. How would I decide like where am I going to be going to college? But going back to Yale, man. So, he's got some brains up there, man. Yale doesn't just offer scholarships to anybody.
I don't even... Can they offer scholarships?
No, they're not scholarships.
Yeah, that's right.
Those Ivy Leagues are all...
Financial.
I think it's like financial aid. It's like 10% of what your parents are making, like joint income or something. That's
yeah,
what I
you're
do.
Like, all right, well, yeah, free ride or 165 grand.
Looks like
or,
BU.
Do you think you'll ever finish school?
Yeah, I actually went back this summer.
Did you?
Yeah, I did class for a semester.
Good for you, dude. I promised 10 years ago I would. I haven't done one yet. I got to do that. I really do. I was interested to see if you'd do that. So you'll think you'll get it. You'll go all the way. You have two more years?
Fuck. Yeah, I got 2 years. I'm going to be class of 2030. I'm going to be walking with kids who aren't
even
born yet.
You're still going to be playing in 2030. You're going to be class of 2055 with your kids.
Hopefully you have more trophies than any of your fellow graduates, though, if it is that far away.
So go into a little bit because, you know, we tend to have a lot of groups of fans listen to our podcast. You got Clayton Keller you played with. You got Greenway. Is Jordy Greenway?
Jordan Greenway.
Jordy Greenway. So guys who are going to be making, you know, a difference for Arizona and Minnesota. Tell us a little bit about them and, you know, really kind of what their fans can expect from those guys. I think both of them will be in the NHL this year. Keller especially.
So Jordan actually decided to go back to school. He's going to go for his junior
no shit,
year.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. But
good
one of
him.
The cool things about him, and I don't think we're breaking any news here, he's the Olympics this year is going to be college guys.
Oh
so,
shit! That's
so
a good
he's,
point.
So I think he's got a very good chance, if not already, you know, a spot to play there, which is awesome. Fuck, get to say he played in an Olympics.
But they'll also take pros from Europe, I think.
Pros from Europe
in college,
for sure. So I think it'll be like maybe like a half K, get some guys from some good leagues, and then college guys, couple college guys. So
wow, he's
Jordan,
a beast. He's gonna dominate
he's a beast,
college
man.
Again this year.
Yeah, he's. I've been working out with him a little bit. He's having a great summer, so. He's going to be excited. I hope he tears it up.
And then
he just blows the doors off it at school this year. Just lights up Hockey East.
And then it might be time. All right, NHL's calling.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the timeline for him. But Kells, man.
Is it true that Keller, somebody asked him, why should we draft you in an interview? And he said, would you pass up on Patrick Kane? Is that true?
Oh, man. I heard that.
He plays like him, though.
I heard that, and I wouldn't put that by him.
He's nasty, though.
There was another one. He was like, yeah, like where are you going to get drafted? And he was like top 10. And like, why? And he's like, cause that's where I deserve to be or something like that. Like,
oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Kells is like, oh man. Like, so he was just in Boston last week. He was staying with me, man. He's one of my best buds, but, you want to talk about skill, man. He's like, this kid's unbelievable. Like, if you actually put a player comparison, like,
it's Kane.
You'd throw Kane. Yeah, you'd throw Kane or Johnny. Like, he's got the skill. Like, he's got the wheels. Like, his hockey sense, his deception, like, it's all there.
I heard he's, like, the hardest worker as well.
Yeah, he really? He works his ass off. He's driven. He competes. Like, that's for awesome. A guy his size, like, you wouldn't expect him to come under your stick and just, like, take it from you.
Yep.
You know, because he's not this hulking guy, but he does it. He does it. He's quick. He's fast. Like, he's strong on his hands. Like, you know, he wins battles. Like, he's a stud, man. I hope he has a real good year for AZ.
Yeah, I think he will.
Charlie, I know the Bruins didn't really get much of a sample size last year because, you know, you only played in the playoffs, but was there anything that they told you specifically to work on for your game going into this season, or they just kind of let you keep doing what you're doing? Anything that you feel you need to work on as well? Or, I mean, I know you're only technically a rookie this year, but...
You can always get better, you know? Yeah. There's always something you can improve on.
No, it was, you know, we had like a little meeting right before I left for the summer and, you know, kind of just mutual on the fact, you know, to go get better and make sure that I come into camp, you know, just with my head on straight and, you know, just ready to go because getting ready for the 82 game season is like something that I've never had to prepare for. You know, I play college. It's like not even half. It's not even half that.
It's not.
I haven't played over 40 games in either of my 2 years there. Like, so now you got to double that and some if you make the playoffs and try and go on a run. Like, so just trying to get ready for that. And, you know, we kind of acknowledge that there's going to be ups and downs and
100%,
you know, like that there'll be, you know, just make sure the highs aren't too high and the lows aren't too low and just try and, you know, stay good. We'll work together.
How do you gauge the expectations for this upcoming year? I mean, you're Calder Trophy probably candidate coming up. So like a lot of expectations for you coming in. We got people tweeting wet emojis at us.
Guys, yeah. That's really
2016.
So, that's a good question, though. Expectation wise, are you looking at anything in particular? Is it more like, all right, I don't want to keep numbers in it, just play well, play a lot, that type thing?
Just to do my thing, man. I'm looking to just pick up where I left off, and I think I've had a really good off season. So, you know, like that stuff we talked about being familiar now, like I know everybody's name. Like when I walk in the door, like I know, you know, trainers. I got faces to names with trainers, like the guys who are going to help me, you know, stay healthy and, you know, everybody kind of just the support staff, like I'm in with them now, like, which is a great feeling to know, like you have all these guys, you kind of have a relationship, you can lean on all these guys. So as far as like expectations, like I really don't put a ton on myself. I don't really throw a number out there where I'm like, wow, if I don't hit that, it's a disappointing year. Like I just want to play. I want the Bruins as a whole to be a great team this year. I think there's a lot of, I think it's going in the right direction and I'm hoping that we're going to be good for a long time. So, I mean, mostly it's just excitement. I'm just going to play my best, you know?
Is this last year plus, I mean, you get drafted June of 16 and I mean, it feels like you're blinking, it's over. I mean, here you are, you're going into your rookie year. I mean, has it just been a blur the last year from BU, the playoffs, and here? Now, like he said, you're probably going to be a Calder candidate this year, whether you want to admit it or not. You're definitely going to be getting eyeballed to that. But what's the last year been like? Has it just been like, holy shit, man, you're kind of blinking, here you are, an NHL regular?
Oh, man, it's just like, it's been nuts. So many things, just so many like blessings to be thankful for. Like winning World Junior. Wow, like, yeah, you know, I grew up, one of the best things that I was able to witness as a kid was John Carlson scoring the game winner in overtime against Canada.
In Saskatchewan.
I'm jumping up and down more than those guys were when that happened. And then you're like, wow, I'm here. I'm in the gold medal game. Same spot. Fast forward, what, 7 years later, 6 years, 7 years later? Like, boom, we're in the same spot, and I'm playing in this game. Like, you know, I'm either leaving here with a gold or a silver. And another shootout. That medal round probably took 10 years off my life. But
how nasty is that kid, Chris Terry? Is he like going to be an NHL?
Troy Terry.
Chris Terry, AHL dude. Guy. If he listens, you're always a great player, buddy.
Man, he's sick. He'll
play in the NHL. He's not just like a skill shootout guy.
No, man. I really hope he does, man. He's such a good player. What a year for him, though, because...
Was he nails or what during that shootout? Didn't give a shit.
It's like... You look at this kid off the ice. He is the biggest like sweetheart of a guy. Like he's just literally. If I had to explain him, I'd be like, this kid's adorable. Like, and then like nicest kid, And he goes out there, and it's like absolute ice in his veins. Like three on Samsonov, who's probably the best goalie I've played against in my age group. That Russian goalie, man. Yep. He used to give us fits my time at the program. Yep. Like just putting the like absolute wall against us, and he beat him three times.
When he had to score, like score or lose, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just
yeah.
like go first. And yeah. Your goalie can make a save. Like if I don't bury it, we're done.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes out there and buries it, and then buried again, and then
Troy Oshie. That's what the
yeah,
what
literally
the internet went.
I got those shirts, man. The not Danny Heatley guy came out. This yeah. kid with the five hole Terry shirts, and like I DM'd him. I'm like, you gotta send me one. So I got my five hole Terry shirt. Like, oh man, I've been sporting it all the time.
Does Pasta break 40 this year or what?
If he gets signed.
He'll be signed. No. Dude, the fact that the Bruins emailed the Globe and went on EEI to discount that dopey rumor, like...
No, 100%, you know, 100% he'll yeah. be signed. He's just going to he's gonna get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
the
for
way,
him.
The way of the league.
Cha-ching!
But he had 34. Do you think
how
he,
about Dreisaitl's, huh?
Oh, that see, that kind of fucked the Bruins. So Chiarelli is just still somehow hosing the Bruins. I mean, Dreisaitl could have gotten even a little bit more, to be honest with you. I mean, that guy is a filthy player. They locked up their core. But right when I saw that deal, I saw somebody tweet that Pasta would get $7.5 million a year for 8 years. I'm like, a full million less a year? Have you seen the stats? They're pretty much the same. Pasta has more goals than him. So, I mean, that contract really has kind of changed the game for Pastrnak. So, I think that if anything, though, Edmonton's just happy that they locked up their two guys. I saw something else. Who would you... he won't answer, but would you rather have Dreisaitl and McDavid making... whatever they are,
$21 million combined.
Or Taves and Kane.
Great. Are we mind melding here? Which
I'm thinking
the
McDavid.
Same thing.
Right now, at the points in their careers, like I couldn't even compare the two. I don't think.
Honestly, I don't know. I might take McDavid and fucking Lucic just because McDavid's so good.
McDavid and Grinnelli.
McDavid and Grinnelli.
Oh, don't do that.
Always laughing. He's in pain. Hockey guy. All right. Shit. So a little off hockey. Quick. Are you a Yankees fan?
Oh, man. I get this bullshit all the time.
Are you like, a Giants fan?
Are we going to have to toss them out, toss them out of here?
I'm like, I'm refusing to answer all these questions.
Wow, you are. You're Giants and Yankees.
Nah, so.
Hey, no, I'll give him props for his loyalty, hey, man. Yeah,
so I'll tell you this. Baseball. Like, love baseball. Like, I was young when the Yankees won it. I think they won it a couple times in my life.
John Wetland?
Like, but. But the Sox was 04, and then more recently, like, baseball was never my favorite. Like, hockey and football are my two favorite sports. Like, love fantasy football. Like,
really?
For that. Like, Sundays, like, if we don't have a game or anything, like, in college, it was great. Like, nothing on Sundays, boom, I'm watching football with the boys, like, all day. Like,
it's the best.
It's the best. Like, you just watch football, like, you got your fantasy team going, like, that's my thing. Like, so football is awesome. Like, baseball... I'm like I was fine with kind of just inherit Sox. Like because I'd go like the people at Fenway were always so nice, like get me in there, like I'd go watch some games and I'm like, wow, like this place is awesome.
How do you
know? You look at that building and you're like, wow, this, you know, I could root for these guys.
But football will never change.
Oh, it's just so hard. Like you I go from New York to Mass, of course, like why couldn't the Giants have played somebody else in the Super Bowl? Because now we have this, like, this
Giants
Pats.
Well, yeah, but you're the only team that can talk shit on us.
Like the only team. If you guys had beaten the Giants twice, then what do they have now? Belichick and Brady have what?
They'd have seven.
They'd have seven?
In the Super Bowl.
But they also came close to losing a couple. But it's just like Giants fans are the one fans that can talk shit.
Hate them.
And even as a Patriots fan, I know all my friends... I don't want to play the Giants ever again in a Super Bowl. Like, I really don't. It would be so miserable because they could always have, like, dude, 3-0. We don't care. But so at least you have a team that you're able to talk shit on a little bit.
But the Giants, like, they'll break your heart, too. Like, they'll win a Super Bowl, and then they'll go 3-10. Then like, 3-12 or whatever. Like, 3-13. They'll go 3-13, like, the next year. Like, you guys are in the hunt every single year. When's the last AFC time the Pats title. Didn't make the playoffs? Like, can't even think.
When RA had another gallbladder, like, 2000.
It was like late 90s. Oh, actually, no, the 1 year when Brady got his knee shredded.
Yeah, and they went 11-5.
And Mac, yeah, they still went 11-5 with Matt Castle. That
and
was yeah,
Castle,
one,
like
one 70, time in 17 years.
That's a crime. They went 11-5 and didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
No shit.
Former teammate of yours, Nicky Roberto, told me I had to ask you about the Ocho.
Oh man.
He also said to ask about your rooming experience with Greener.
Oh, God. The Ocho, actually, so at BU, like, one of my first year there, actually, my freshman year, and then the Ocho kind of fizzled out, but that was the swim house, the swimmers, the BU swimmers.
Oh.
Some of the guys, you know, right in Alston.
Yeah, right near, like, behind the rink and stuff, right?
Yeah, along that road. Like, so Walter Brown, it's like, you go out of the front door, Walter Brown.
Yeah, just keep going.
Yeah.
Ripped it up on that
seat. Yeah, and... 8 Wadsworth was actually like the location, so it was 8 and called it the Ocho, and we go there all the time. We had a pretty good relationship with some of the swim guys there, and we had some fun times at the Ocho, man.
Just pictures of like Phelps everywhere. You're like, all right, guys, let's go to the hockey house.
How come none of you guys have any hair on you? All right, we're gonna do. As you said, you're a fan, so you're familiar with All Right Hamilton, our weekly segment where we take.
We got any good questions this week?
I hope so.
decent questions.
Let's see what we got.
A little off the hockey record, but first...
I'm going to make Twitter names and start sending in my own.
Do it.
Make a couple fake Twitters.
Just like, hey, have Whit talk about his best game. Have Whit talk about his favorite clothes. Just stuff about me.
All right, so Blaine Adams asks, dream power play. Anyone in NHL history, nobody can use the same guy twice. All right, Hamilton.
Wow.
No guy can use the same
guy. All right, I like it. I like it.
That's actually
kind of sick,
yeah.
I can go quick. Lidstrom up top or roaming around, okay?
Love it.
Or roaming around like Niedermeyer did. Lidstrom up top.
We're talking umbrella here.
Dave Andrechuk in front of the net. Like, who else was amazing in front of the net? Like, what's Holmstrom maybe? Fuck, Holmstrom on your top power play unit ever, though? Man, I'd have to think. Half wall, Lemieux. And Gretzky.
Yeah, no. Sorry, Crosby?
I took everyone from you guys.
No Crosby?
Oh, no, Crosby's he's when you pull the goalie, he goes out there.
All right, who's got it?
I'll go Paul Coffey.
Bergeron. Nifty Rick Middleton. Glenn Featherstone.
You're going to kill the guy.
Which wants a new co-host because he's trying to kill me off today. I swear to God. Paul Coffey. I know he was more of a two-way guy, but Larry Robinson. Neely, Gretzky, didn't say.
Yeah,
Gretzky.
That's all right.
Did you say? I was thinking.
Everyone has to use Gretzky, like, dude. Enough.
And then another forward. Fucking Dino Cicerelli.
Dino, dude, will club you in the head.
Couple of mean guys out front, just fucking give him passes all day.
Oh man.
Who's your favorite player growing up? Leach.
Yeah, he's on the top of my umbrella. 100%. So we got Leachy on the top. I'm going Big Walt in front.
Yeah, dude. Big Walt sticking his ass in there. Front.
Absolutely. That goalie's not going to see a goddamn thing.
Big Walt, the legend.
Big Walt's in front. Got to have Scotty Niedermeyer out there.
Buzzing around.
Pavel Bure is out there. I got four guys just wreaking havoc. And then who's my middle guy? You said everybody's got to use Gretzky?
No. You don't have
who's
to use Gretzky.
Who's a good bumper guy, man?
Adam Oates.
Nobody's named.
That's my. Right, that guy was. You can have him, Chucky.
That guy was apple.
Wow.
Sauce.
That guy just set people up.
He just had what do you have, a million assists?
No, million and one.
Million and one.
Dude, he didn't even understand. Like, that guy cut his blade in half, too. If you ever look at Oates, and he would just baby sauce everywhere.
Yeah, his blade was like George.
I think I've all. I just named an all lefty unit.
Yeah, you're a righty too.
I'm a righty.
So, by the way, do you know any player I've ever seen play hockey, I can tell you if he's a lefty or a righty.
I'm pretty good at that too.
I'm probably the opposite.
Give me a name. Give me a name.
I used to play that, man.
You've had to see him play.
If I've ever played against him or seen him play,
Guy Lafleur,
righty. Yeah. Dude, you couldn't stop. It's a sick thing.
He's one of
the
best.
This and keeping score of golf carts. I'm really good at that. Hey, by the way, quickly, you mentioned Larry Robinson. I didn't get to ask you. Like, you kind of remind me of him in a way because I was an offensive defenseman. I didn't hit anyone. You're an offensive guy, and you kill people. So has hitting always been a big part of your game? Is that the football in you, the nose guard stuff we talked about?
I'm like,
you run guys over. Yeah, run guys over. Fucking A, dude. Like, you touch anyone.
I don't know, man. Like,
do you love a big hit as much as a nasty apple?
No. Sick apples, I'd rather get on the score sheet for sure. There's no bonus for hits.
No, exactly. Exactly. Can I get a hit
coming
bonus?
Over for a win. Talking about bonuses. His eyes are flaring up.
I'm a bonus guy.
Oh, man. No, I mean, but I like... it's just a part of the game, I think. And yeah. I think it's kind of like coming out of the game. Like even in college, like mostly, like, you know, throw a nice hit. Like it's pretty much I'm sitting for two.
Yeah,
maybe more.
But like, but penalties that coaches are like every time.
Yeah, like we're kill that. Boys love it. But I honestly, like, some of these hits, like sometimes when I just see somebody coming, like when they just have their head down like that, I just kind of like
I'm just grinning.
I feel like they almost like. Deserve it.
Yeah, like a Pavlov dog. You're gonna skate around with your head down like this clown.
I've gotten clocked, man. I've gotten hit like some pretty hard. Like, you know, everybody takes their licks, like, and they're all like because I had my head down, and like there's no other thing I can say except for fuck, I should have had my head up.
Yeah,
I should have had my head up.
All right, you know, one more. All right, Hamilton. Yeah.
All right, Zach Jen asked, if you have $10 to spend at a gas station, what are you getting?
All right, Hamilton.
You're buying a $10
that's
water.
That's a pretty interesting question.
You're a water nerd.
You think I'm buying a $10 water? I'm buying a $10 scratchy, bro.
True.
Oh. $10 scratchy all day.
If $10, if like...
I don't dip. I feel like a dip's a guarantee if you dip.
Probably two, I don't know, a couple Gatorades, a couple Hershey bars. All my vices you can't buy at a gas station, so yeah. that's probably about it.
Mac, I've always like pack of Newports, a large Honeydew coffee.
Oh, man. What's going with a $10 scratchy?
Oh, yeah, so what about you?
I'm scratchy, a scratchy guy. Yeah. Or if I can pay Keno in that rest stop, I'll play Keno.
Oh, well, man, when I go into a gas station, I honestly don't know what to, like, I'm not a huge candy bar guy, like all that stuff. I look at it and it's like my inner is like, you can't eat that. Like
you just want so bad.
Yeah, though. But you're like, you can't
wait till retirement.
Yeah, like you don't get gas station food if it's made in the gas station. Like not,
no, like when you're in a 7-Eleven and they have like pizza and wings.
Yeah, I dare you to eat that.
The guy died from it this past year out west in like Oregon. He had the nachos. Dog, he had the nachos and he died from the cheese.
Oh man, that cheese, dude. Oh,
Boga.
On that note.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up.
I got a golf tournament today.
Yeah,
so
you
I got
do.
A buzz.
Actually, just a couple of quick notes. All Right Hamilton is brought to you by Plated.com. You know, no matter how packed my schedule gets between work and social life and fighting around on the couch, I always make time for a good meal. With Plated, cooking is more than just dinner. It's me time. I put on some tunes, pour myself a glass of vino, follow Plated step-by-step recipes. This week, I'm going to be cooking this steak quesadillas there with the zucchini. Plus, not to mention, guys, if you have a significant other, nothing better than cooking for your wife or your man or whatever. It definitely helps the relationship along, certainly. So you want to cook for your significant other all the time. And Plated makes that possible. Plated.com makes that possible. You know, the travel the world from your kitchen, the recipes are inspired by cuisines all over the world, Malaysian fish curry, lamb shakshuka from Morocco. Not only does Plated do all the shopping for you, it saves all you the time. They send you the exact amounts of ingredients you need. They're sourcing quality ingredients. Artisanal mayo, they got that. Even comes in its own adorable little glass jar. I love spending time in the kitchen with my old lady. Learn to cook. It's fun. It's rewarding. Again, it does help your relationship. And also, it gives you great food. And that's what Plated.com does for you. Also, you got a sweet tooth? Plated even offers dessert options like no churn, coffee, ice cream, and cinnamon rolls. So, guys, go out, give Plated.com a try. Discover your ideal dinner experience. Go to Plated.com/hockey to get 50% off your first Plated box. Again, that's 50% off for a limited time only. Terms do apply. See Plated.com/hockey for details. One more time, that's Plated.com/hockey. Give it a try. Want to send our best wishes and best of luck to Dave Goucher. I've heard Dave Goucher. I'm all over the road. Too many drugs this morning.
Tiger Woods.
Legally prescribed. Dave Goucher was the Bruins play-by-play guy in the radio booth. He left to take over the
TV job
with the Good Las Vegas Golden Knights. So he was great here for 17 years. He was here. 17 years, yeah.
17
He gave us
tilts?
Two of the best calls in Boston sports history.
Bergeron.
Get the duck boats ready when they won the cup, and then Bergeron when they come back against Toronto in Game 7. So we want to send him best luck out there. He's got a great opportunity. And also Brian Murray, former GM of Ottawa, passed away since our last recording. So we just like to acknowledge when we lose members of the hockey world and send our condolences to any friends, family that were affected by that. So we just want to send those words out. And also, huge thanks to Charlie McAvoy for coming in, man.
Oh,
man.
We really appreciate it. Big fan of yours. I think Grinnelli and I were saying, I think that in 20 years, you'll have a Norris Trophy to your name, and it's wonderful that you went to BU, dude. I couldn't be more proud.
Great hair, too. Great hair, too.
We're a pumped tire podcast. You come in here, you feel good about yourself.
Well, actually,
so thank you very much.
One more quick question I have, and it's from a hashtag from, I think, after you got drafted. Do you have a Simpsons-related nickname?
He loves the Simpsons, dude.
No. Okay. I was not a huge Simpsons guy.
Okay, because I know there was that there was a hashtag... Lardy, like hashtag when you
when oh, and that's like the inside joke, man. Okay. Oh, that's a BU thing. That's like Clayton and Greener.
Then let me explain it, because it sounds rude if I leave it at that. But on the Simpsons, I don't know if you ever watched it. The logo for the fictional donut shop is called Lard Lad, and he's got the same fucking hair as you, man. And like when you got drafted, I think it was Jim Murray at 98.5 said the Bruins just drafted Lard Lad. And again, the name sounds offensive, but it's funny because like when you looked at it next to each other, they look exactly alike. So when they summoned hashtag Lardy, I was like, holy shit, they actually call him that, because like, you know, I put two and two together, but it wasn't four in this case.
Oh man,
so.
That's hilarious.
All right. So what are your plans for the... I mean, when's training camp start for you guys? What, another 2 weeks?
Yeah, rookie camp is September 7th, and then main camp September 14th. So got about almost two, 3 weeks left to last couple workouts, get skating a lot, and, you know, get in there feeling good and ready to go.
Would you say you're in the best shape of your life today?
I actually statistically have been from like a workout perspective, because like at BU, like I have all my stuff there. I've been working out there 3 years, so like I actually have all that stuff, like all those numbers and everything, and actually like I have been.
What, so, your testing numbers?
Like all that, like body fats, like lowest it's been, like all that stuff.
Shit.
As far as all, we had a killer summer, man.
Nice.
We did.
Just over at BU, anyone listening that's getting recruited, come on down to Comap, the good side. BU Terriers.
Not a big deal.
All right, not a big deal. I'm going to go... off probably to your shank one on the first tee, but Mac, thanks so much.
You gotta start with a shank, though.
Yeah, it only makes you feel good. You can only go up from a shank.
Exactly.
Oh, shooting your two.
I usually start with a whiff on the first one. I usually just miss completely.
Here comes the putter throw. All right, hey, everyone, thank you so much for listening.
Peace out.
Take care. Peace.
There are 120,000 unsolved murder cases in America.
It was the next day that I found out from my parents what had happened, that my sister was killed.
Each one is called a cold case.
Sometimes you have to look really closely to find the evidence.
Damn it, I killed her.
Damn it, I killed her.
Cold Case Files, the podcast.
Garcia is walking into the home of a real monster.
I was nervous. I realized what kind of person I was dealing with.
It's a goosebump moment.
Download new episodes every Tuesday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or podcastone.com.